Buns of Steel has swept the country, and now there's the new Buns of Steel Platinum Series. You've seen the amazing results for yourself right here. Now see them on your own body. Howard?
Thank you. It's always a pleasure for me to help people stay fit.
Thank you, Howard. Tammy Lee?
And remember, there's nothing more important than your body. Take care of your body, and your body will take care of you.
Thanks, Tammy Lee. And I'm Paul Geiger. Thank you for being here.
February 1990. Cindy Crawford's on the cover of Vogue. People are talking about thieves who kill for cool clothing. That sounds good. I hope they invent podcasts one day to talk about it. The inventor of Velcro dies. Talk about ripped from the headlines. And Gillette rolls out the Sensor, its first men's blade in 13 years. But you don't care about all of this because Papa Lupa has been found. Your brother Eric heard all of your radio requests and it bummed him out. So he decided to stop hiding the puppy in his closet because it wasn't funny to him anymore. He said he was sorry, and even more sorry for making you think he didn't have a name for 3 years, and admitted that this family's pretty fucked up and nobody talks about it. Just like how nobody talks about how this weird city with its weird names and what the fuck is up with Dad and why don't we talk about it? Then Eric got real and showed you this tattoo he'd recently gotten that was supposed to be a star, but it hurt too much, so it's just 2/3 of a triangle. But you tried to cheer him up by saying that that still counts as a tattoo, and he said, "You're not bad for a stupid squirt." And then you asked if he just called you semen, and then he laughed and apologized again about the puppy and the name and your dad, even though that's nobody's fault but his weird ass. And then Eric acted like he was gonna hug you, but instead bit your arm really super hard and told you never to tell anyone about any of this or next time he'll draw blood. So, yeah, there's some more pages of this magazine you haven't memorized. Maybe find something you can wear that covers your forearms. Families are really fucked up. That's right, it's time to
listen to Sexy.
It could be a self-affirming greater than sign as well, this tattoo.
There you go. Depends on where it's pointing.
That's true.
Yeah. A couple of notes from the update desk. We were talking in a recent episode about the moment in Pam's movie, My Year of Dicks, where we see a character stick their finger in their mouth and pull it out to keep lipstick off their teeth. And we all of us couldn't remember which issue of Sassy that was in. I found it! It was the very second issue ever, April 1988. We'll link it in the show notes. That is our episode 7. I was so glad I found that because I really did look for it and it drove me crazy that I couldn't locate it in my searchings.
We were all in our 30s back then when we were at that episode of the podcast.
That's true. Wow. We also want to tell you that for our Listen to Sassy Club members, we have a watch along coming up. It is this Friday, May 19th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're all going to be getting on YouTube and Zoom and watching The Love Boat: A Valentine Voyage. This is a Love Boat TV movie.
Ooh.
Yes, Dave?
I said, ooh.
Oh, yes. It's going to be real romantic. Sadly, the YouTube rip does not appear to have the contemporaneous commercials, which, come on, guys. Always put the commercials in.
It's just, it's so clear that this was voted in after all the watch-alongs we've done so far that as a group, we've been like, what about something fun?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen The Love Boat since I was, you know, a single-digit age.
Yeah, I certainly haven't either. The cast of this one is wild. So it should be a good time. If you are not already in the Listen to Sassy Club, it is very easy to join. It will only cost you $5. So go to listentosassy.com/club to get that perk, plus tons and tons more, full issue scans, ad-free episodes. We tell you about this all the time. If you don't know it by now, you're just refusing to learn. So listentosassy.com/club for perks aplenty and to hang out with us this Friday. Let's start talking about this issue in terms of its fashion and beauty, starting with the cover, of course, because this is the issue in which the second ever Sassiest Girl in America was crowned. Our cover girl is Gina Marie DiGiovanni. I feel like there's no way to say it after Pam said, that's the name of your enemy. And now it just really does sound like an insult every time you say her full name. But anyway, that's her on the cover, shot by Don Ashby. Apparently, they did it for 5 hours. And in the little blurb about it, they say that's a short period of time to be doing a photo shoot. Sounds unbearable. I guess this was the best shot they could get. I mean, it's fine. I don't know. She looks moderately sassy, I suppose.
It also says in that
little other thing, that they put this little rickrack on her elbow, on her collar themselves, mm-hmm. Which must have come after she was like, I brought this flower because it's her brooch. But maybe 3 of the hours were just that decision.
That's right.
She looks like she's the president of math club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
Do they do a sassy girl every year? Like, did they mm-hmm. keep it up?
Yes.
Did they ever have a run, like a playoff, like a Thunderdome of sassy girls?
This is awkward because Tara was one year, and that you don't know this is so weird.
Yeah, I was waiting to surprise you with that. Mm. No, I was never. I never applied. More on the applications later in this episode. But yeah, no, they do not try to winnow it down to finalists of the finalists, sadly. They do eventually have a sassiest boy in America, though, Dave.
Mm, and it was me, I'm sorry to say. I don't know how you didn't know that.
Good work.
First fashion feature is called Look for Love. Our photographer is Naomi Kaltman. Our models are Lisa and Christian. That's right. It's one of those fashion spread that gots a boy. I'm just going to turn it over to Pam because she seems like she's a little jealous slash mad straight out the gate.
Oh, well, yes. This first picture, which is she's in his lap. She's got tights and a sweater and then also like a skirt on top of a skirt. Mm-hmm. And she's holding a daisy, which he's like got his backwards baseball cap. And he's like hugging her to like help her pick the does he love me not thing. And her bangs just sort of like dragged across her face because she's so busy laughing while simultaneously snuggling into his temple. And they've clearly like stolen away to this picnicky bench that I assume is at a playground. And I can safely assume is at a playground where there's no kids because they've cut school to do this. And they maybe took his motorcycle or something. And this is all I've ever wanted. This is all I've ever wanted. I wanted this image to be me, even with the backwards, you know, that cap stinks. Like you can tell right by your nose, that's a sweaty cap, model's own cap. And it doesn't matter. All of the awkward angles that they've made to make this look like a moment of passion. You can flip through all the others and
hang on a sec. Alternate reading of the first photo. These are a pair of Siamese twins, and this is the best they can do.
They're in one sweater for sure. There is no, that's the point. They are so in love that they can't even go to a regular school. They have to come out here and hold each other because there's no desk for that.
And if it's your brother, that's fine because you're attached to him. What else are you going to do?
That's right. This is, yes, you make it in the best.
There's a scene in the movie Top Secret where they're making out and, you know, the hands are everywhere and it looks
some
like this.
Starlog Jam and shit then, you just rolled into.
Starlog Jam. And then suddenly there's like more than 4 hands involved and there's like 12 feet. This photo is almost there. Like there's so much going on. The geography of limbs is puzzling because they're both wearing pitch black tops.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm saying they look like Siamese twins here. Mm-hmm. Sorry, conjoined twins. Mm-hmm. And
it does look like they're in the method of like that gamer whose hand is going to be on top.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're right in the middle of whose hand's on top. Yeah.
It also looks like they're powering up for a Street Fighter power move. They're about to do a dual Shuriken.
You can't ruin this. You can't ruin this for me.
I'm just saying they're in love. I'm just presenting it a different way, Pam. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm not all John Hughes about it. Some of us express love through video games. Anyways, back to you, Ms. Pac-Man.
Stop interrupting.
I'm just saying, whenever he's in the shot, she's a happy person. When he's not in the shot, she's not. And that's all I'm saying. Like, she's forlorn until he's around her. He's clearly the center of her world. There's other great fashion in here, but I just want to say, Lisa and Christian, I ship you forever.
I wanted to note for Dave, in case he didn't look at the sourcing or couldn't read it, because it's, once again, pink text on white field, and it's very hard to read. But the skirt that she is wearing in this first shot is from the Columbus Avenue Flea Market.
Fantastic.
A place we shopped many times because it was a very short walking distance from our apartment in New York. We still have stuff that we bought there in our home right now. A bunch of really cool coasters that were made out of old maps. Of course, the 212 big tin signs in our front entryway. Anything else? What else do we get from that place? The Mars, the twirly space thing.
Yes. Remember those, dear listener? The thing about that flea market was that it had a perfect mix of crazy old lady shit.
Yep.
Which is always fun to come across as the table is just like, it's a pie. And also, it's my grandfather's teeth. You know, like, what? And then the next one is like the guy from Jersey with the cheap Bollywood work stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's the guy in the corner that is like, I got to sell all my political pins from the 40s, 50s, or yeah. I'm not going to eat tonight. It was just like each table was totally unique from the table next to it and all other ones. And it was like, kudos to the person that put that all together, because it wasn't like those ones where it's just like, well, there's 14 people selling rings.
Yes. But I will say it does feel like where we lived was like, this is on the Upper West Side. It mostly felt quite gentrified, but that flea market felt like a piece of old New York. Like it was really just all different kinds of people selling all different kinds of stuff. And I'm not surprised that they found some good fashion there, because there were some finds. We don't have to go through each one of these shots. They are in your visual aid so you can look.
I do want to say the second to last photo, though, mm-hmm. of Pam's favorite couple in the universe.
Yes.
Does it change your outlook any when you discover his stinky baseball cap is a Los Angeles Lakers baseball cap?
Well, I really thought you were going to ask about the mirrored tapestry. I did see the Lakers because how could you not? I'm in LA. It can't. It just doesn't faze me. Mm-hmm. People just have that everywhere. Mm. The tapestry mirror situation that is pinned to the back of his sleeveless vest. Denim Mm-mm. jacket Mm-mm. does make me have to go, oh, that's not even fun to borrow and wear. That doesn't hold sweat well.
No. And it's safety pinned on. This is like, this is someone's going to grab him and yank it off. This is not secure. You can see all the safety pins that are holding it there. And also, like, this is just.
It's an OSHA complaint waiting to happen.
It is. It's not. I don't want to generalize. I certainly never saw any straight dudes wearing anything like this at the time. This, although the mirrored tapestry was a thing, and I did see it on a lot of girls' jackets in this era, for sure.
So wait, the little dots inside of, so there's a grid, it's like 6x6 or something like mm-hmm. that, and there's like a little galaxy-looking pattern in each one. The middle of those are tiny mirrors?
Yes.
So she could go around his back and carefully check a portion of her lip to make sure it's got okay lipstick on
it. If he held very still.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The only outfit in this that I wouldn't wear, as I noted, was on page 38 when she's wearing like kind of a Ukrainian embroidered thing, because it looks exactly like all of the costumes that my cousins wore for their Ukrainian dancing recitals. So that was not aspirational. But yeah, 39 is the one where she's in a black sweater and jeans that are all like embroidered around the cuffs, because that's the theme of this embroidery. And they used it as a blow-in for years after this, and rightly so, because she looks so cool and adorable and aspirational. And they really nailed it with this spread. Dave's critiques aside.
I wouldn't be able to wear the shirt on 41, which looks like it's still in packaging on her body. Mm-hmm. It looks so stiff and uncomfortable. And the embroidery here is actually in like an iron-on patch. So I don't even know that this one counts.
I don't know. I mean, if she walked out of a house with a shotgun and said, get off my property, I might, you know, I might be turned on. It's kind of a sexy outfit.
Oh!
Yeah, wow. I'm not mad
I am
at
learning
this one.
Things.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Frontier cowboy lady. Protecting her property, and I'm just looking for a glass of water as the start of some weird porn.
Well, yeah, shame about her blonde hair.
Yeah. Yuck.
Feature number two is called Wear This, in that same sort of watch it tone. Because it is like, here. Because it says, go to your closet and take out the most uptight piece of clothing you own. Penny loafers, an Oxford shirt, chinos, or a cardigan, for example. Now put whatever it is on and pay close attention to the next four pages. I'm just imagining someone having done all this. They're just covered in clothes. Pay attention. Close attention to the next four pages, because we're about to show you how an offbeat addition or an original combination can manipulate your most boring gear into something you'd actually wear. And I wouldn't say that when you're looking over these clothes in this spread, that you started in anything boring. that's the first thing. I was like, these aren't boring clothes, but it's wild to think I've got a Harley Davidson chauffeur hat just sitting around to plop on top of my Oxford shirt, my Hermes scarf that I'm just going to tie around my waist and like go to school. I don't know. I don't even know. Oh, it does say imitation Hermes. I didn't know that part.
Boring seems like the wrong word. Like these are basics mostly that there they're giving a little bit of an edge.
The edge on the one I keep trying to call them like brads because they, in my world, those are brads and how you put a script together.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
She's,
studs.
She's got brads on her fly.
Uh-huh.
These studs.
Yeah.
But what they've done that's odd is they've just given her sad, wet hair, and you can't go to school like this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's from The Ring. It's the girl that crawls out of the TV.
Samara. Mm-hmm.
And then what's her nuts from... The Angel show is all wet and creepy in the closet. That's her. Now she's in Sassy. What's the show I'm thinking of, Tara? Help me. Joan of Arcadia.
Yes. Amber Tamblyn.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news for her when this woman comes out. Look at my weird rhinestone fly.
Yeah.
Here's the videotape. Gotta go.
But at the same time, she also looks like time-traveling Emily Ratajkowski in this, the hair one. Her in the face. Not she doesn't in any of the other shots, but in this one she does to me.
She's got sad, forlorn introspection rain patterns on my window hair.
She does.
Yes.
She's having a lot of feelings today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she looks much happier on the next page where she is in the most sassiest girl in America official pose, which is my butt's cold. I'm kind of holding my skirt underneath so that you can't see my butt crack because my tights are so cute and I'm I've got my fist mostly in my mouth with my cuffs. Like, it is, it's how you try to sit mm-hmm. when boys are near.
Yes.
But you look like you have to pee when you do it, but mm-hmm. she doesn't. Yeah.
What's that called when you do that thing with your feet like that? It's got a name, right?
A little pigeon-toed?
Pigeon-toed,
is that what you
that's
mean?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and knock-kneed. She's knock-kneed and pigeon-toed.
Yeah. That's what
yeah.
yeah. Again, though, the weird thing about this whole shoot, though, is that it is all... very high contrast, black and white. It is all slightly out of focus or motion blurred. So once again, it's just vibe more than actual seeing the things they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Sassy is really the first fashion magazine thing that I've been exposed to because who gives a shit? Look at me. Look what I'm... Describe what I'm wearing right now.
Me?
Yeah.
Well... I'm going to start with the top of your head because yeah. you have a haircut tomorrow and it is
okay,
it is time.
Fashion-wise.
Oh, he's in a jersey.
Let's not get personal, Tara.
I'm sorry, you're out of time.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
He's in a heathered light red jersey hoodie
yeah.
over an Ian Ziering 90210 t-shirt.
High fashion is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to excuse me if this is the whole industry... puts out shit like this for fashion spreads. But once again, I think they are putting photography first and fashion communication second in these mm-hmm. ones. And I don't know. I don't know if that's the right call.
Well, there definitely is more of an effort to make fashion photography artful. Mm-hmm. Like if you're looking at Vogue or Elle or what have you. They probably wouldn't do this spread in all black and white, especially if one of the hero images or the hero pieces is, you know, floral tights, because you want to see what the colors yeah. are.
And their thigh highs. Yeah,
yeah.
It'd be neat to see that. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I think there's also a worry probably is if you make it look too presentational, then it just looks catalog, which mm-hmm. is like tacky. And sometimes I think they, you know, walk that line better. Like in the first fashion feature, I thought was great. You can see almost all of the garments that they're showing, but it also seems like they're telling a story yep. with it. And this is just like, I can't see, even as black and white photography, this is hard to see because it's so fuzzy.
Isn't necessarily that it's in black and white, because if you're dealing with mostly black and whites, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But it's just like the choices of the, you know, the fidelity, the resolution of the image where it's a little bit out of focus and you lose details. I didn't know that was a flower pattern on those stockings.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of weird things like that where, I don't know, I guess if I was looking at this and thinking about things I would like to own.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure what I'm going for with a lot of these because a lot of the tops, whether they're cardigans or shirts, they're just masses of... They're just color forms.
Yes.
I don't see any detail in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where the art stops and the utility is supposed to begin with these. It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. This is why you think you'll get it right, but you will get it so wrong.
That's the wiggle room they give themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
I do think that the bat pin on the pearl necklace is cute.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought to do that, or if it's charm or whatever it is. That's a fun detail. Like, I like the high-low sort of soft-hard thing that they're doing, which is something they tried. And I think they're getting us ready for the florals plus Doc Martens era of fashion, which is like around the corner at the time this story comes out. But yeah. We have one beauty feature this month, and it is called Make It Yourself Beauty Basics. Our model is Jennifer, and she goes through it with all of these do-it-yourself ideas. Our photographer is Bruno Hubiner. I'm not sure. It starts with a J. Let's, if you know, sound off in the comments. But basically, this is all beauty stuff you can do for almost free with stuff that's at home. They don't say boring like they did in the second fashion feature, but it's like, yeah, raid the bathroom, see what you can do without spending any money, even at a drugstore. And I think some of them are more successful than others, and I will let's go through the ones that we had comments about, starting with number one, totally free temporary perm. It's basically like twist up pieces of your hair in triangles all over your head, secure them with bobby pins. After time passes.
And then Bjork's like, okay, that's good. I'm done.
Exactly. Yeah. Then take them out, shake them out. And when you see the after, you can tell it didn't really work because she's holding a lot of her hair up and it's turned to the side. We know these tricks. It's not as curly as they wanted it to be, but they're like, well, we got to move on. So do what you can. And Pam had a good note in the doc.
Yeah, they didn't suggest any product to put in it other than water. So this is just frizz city. If you get it out. When you get it, you can see it already. It's like, oh dear, that's not going to work out very well at all. Yep. It's too twisty to not give it some gel. Why not put some gel in it or some mousse?
Isn't this the same process you make tie-dye shirts?
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay.
I have done this one or had it done to me. I am not dexterous enough to do it on myself, but when my sister lived with us in Toronto and it would get very hot and humid and disgusting and I didn't want to cut all my hair off, this was a solution that I would do if I was not going anywhere usually. But I would just leave it up York style, but with a part so it looked more intentional, but not with the hope of having it brush out later and be a style. Next.
Get the red out of your skin, that is, the next time you get an attack of pimples that make your poor face red and irritated. Pretty. Mix 1 teaspoon salt and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice and dot it onto the red spots. Let it go to work for 10 minutes, then rinse your face clean. Then this, if your skin is pimple-free but red from blotchiness or general irritation, you can rely on good old calamine lotion. Apply with a clean cotton ball, let it dry, and then rinse your face well with cool water. It'll soothe any inflammation right away. I would have thought you should not put calamine lotion on your face when you're not in an active chicken pox situation. Isn't it burny?
I don't think the whole point is that it soothes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just thought you shouldn't put that on your face. These are things I've learned.
It's a drying solution.
Yeah, it's to soothe. You put it on poison ivy. Like, you put it on rashes. That's what calamine is for. So I don't know what you're thinking of.
My face is so sensitive. The rest of my body can handle these kinds of things. But I feel like your face skin...
All zit creams, that's what they do, right? They just dry it out.
Yes.
That's all they do, so...
Yeah, they usually are full of alcohol.
I mean, that's why you use it, to dry it out. You wouldn't use it for any other purpose.
Mm-hmm. I don't like your tone.
Well, I mean, you're not using it as a... It sounds like you want to use it as a mask, and then you're like, ow, my face hurts. Why is my face hurt? Oh, that's why, because I dried my whole face out.
Next, something to soak in. You got your heart set on a good long bath, but you don't have any bubble bath liquid. Don't just take a shower. Put in a half a cup of ivory flakes and swish it around. If you want it more soothing, they say powdered milk. I would have never, or half a cup of baking soda. I probably, the only thing on this list that would have ever been in my home at this time was baking soda. Like, I mean, I put him in the notes. It's 1990. Who has friggin' ivory flakes? And Dave had an answer.
My mom did.
Wow. For laundry?
Yeah, that was in the laundry room. Because I remember because I had I don't know if it was like ivory by name, but I think it was.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was like snowflakes or a brand or something like that. But I only remember the name because I remember the package and it made some like impact on me as a kid. So what do you... Is it make your clothes softer, or was it like sort of like bounce before it stay or something?
Well, I think ivory is for baby clothes because it's supposed to be more gentle.
Yeah.
And less
irritating.
It doesn't
have a little baby on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. It was like blue, dark blue background and a baby on it. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe she kept it for like her delicates.
I still have Dreft because it smells like my baby and I still wash my kids' clothes in the tiny baby clothes. So the baby always smells like a baby.
Pam, your baby is 25.
I know.
Get over it.
I can't.
I understand.
Ivory Snow. That's what it's called.
Yes.
Ivory Snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were trying to find Frosted Flakes and you found Ivory Snow, and then that's the memory. You can't remember, but something happened. I feel like anything that they're suggesting is a very quick way to a urinary tract infection. Like, why would you, you should not soak in most of this stuff. The baking soda is going to be fine, but everything else.
No, and especially, I mean, urinary tract might be the least of your problems now that we know everything we know about fucking baby powder giving you cancer if it's anywhere near your crotch. Like, anyway, moving on from cancer. Number four, two simple skin scrubs. They say, once again, our old friend baking soda is back. Use that, mix it with water, turn it into a paste. If you have more sensitive skin, Pam,
thank you.
Add sugar.
No.
To one part honey. Sorry, that's not for baking soda. If your skin is drier and more sensitive, mix two parts sugar to one part honey and exfoliate. I don't think you should do that either.
You should not. That's just a scrub. That's terrible.
Yes. And furthermore, the only reason that I would have baking soda in my bathroom today is because we have mildewy grout and Dave periodically tries to attack it with a mix of baking soda and bleach. So, again, like Pam with the calamine, I don't want to put the stuff that we put on the grout on my face.
That's a good policy. I do want to say we inherited this terrible shower grout thing. And I actually put our power washer on the side of the house where this bathroom is, fed the hose into the house, tried to power wash the grout out, and it didn't budge. So it's like molecularly bonded.
Yeah.
So the best we can do is once in a while put this delicious face paste on the tiles to slightly lighten, which is a really troubling, very dark color on some of our grout. So don't judge us.
Yeah, don't judge us.
This is the one part of the house that the previous owners were like, we don't really need to have that curb ready, do we?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, stand by for an update on this maybe a year and a half from now after we've actually possibly redone the shower. Who's to say? Moving on. Number five,
hair color you can drink. Depends on what you like to drink. But if you want natural red highlights in medium to dark hair, again, here we are. Take your clothes off, stand in the shower, and dump a bottle of cranberry juice over your head. Let hair stew for 20 minutes or so, then shampoo. All of that sounds like a dare at a slumber party. Especially how it's told. Like, truth. Dare. I went dare. Go in the shower, take off all your clothes, and dump a bottle of cranberry juice on your head for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to also say a bottle of cranberry juice at this time would have been what, like $1.50, a whole bottle that you're just going to waste on your hair when you could go to the drugstore and get a can of that colored mousse that washes out in one wash for probably $1.75. So why not just use the product that's actually for that purpose instead of wasting essentially food?
It's because you want to color your hair and do Carrie cosplay at the same time.
Yes, that's one. Also, it's 2 a.m. You guys just came up with that idea because you're not going to bed yet.
Right.
You can't go get the dye. You can also pour coffee over your head or put tea bags in some hot water and let it brew. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could, but you're right. This is too much. What you end up doing is putting Kool-Aid in your hair.
Yes.
Because that is what you have in the pantry at any hour.
Number seven, cut your own bangs. Counterpoint, don't, unless you really want to get yelled at by your hairstylist the next time you get a haircut, because they can tell and they get mad. They don't want you to do it. You're making more work for them. This is what they're there for, and this is why they tell you when you have bangs, if you need a trim, come in 4 weeks. I will do it for free, and they will. Don't trim your own bangs is my advice, unless it's an emergency. Number eight says put any white toothpaste on your zits instead of zit cream to dry them out. I did try this one. It works.
I still do it. It does work. But now they make acne patches, which are much better. See how here it says not the fancy gels? I do remember one time that I learned why. Because I did it and it was like too close to my eye. And then it was like menthol in your eye.
Yeah.
Just they should have said why. That's all. And I wouldn't have forgotten.
Was it the gel? Was it Aquafresh with the three colors?
Yes.
And you're like, that was the fanciest. It'll do the best job.
It had it in there. I was like, well, it's got it in there somewhere.
Do they even still make what? Aquafresh? I feel like I never see it.
I'm sure they do.
Do you remember the pump? Remember when the pump was a thing?
That's what we're all dear listener can't see, we're all red rumming.
Instant lip fix to dechap those winter whipped lips. Apply a thick layer of Vaseline. Slough the dry skin off by gently moving a soft bristled toothbrush in a circular motion over your mouth. It tickles a little, but your lips will thank you. Like, I'd rather die than do this. This sounds like terrible from start to finish. First of all, I don't want my tickling lips. You know I'm ticklish already. And if that happened, it is on my lips and it sort of feels weird. I'm already weirded out about it. It's not even happening. I'm just thinking about it in a theoretical sense right now. And then the ripping off of skin. No, thank you. The ripping off of lip skin. Triple no, thank you. No, thank you to any of this. I'd rather just walk around and look like the mummy with my mouth with strips of lip skin just hanging off all willy-nilly than to go through this, frankly.
Is that why you have a mustache? Just to cover up what your lip is nothing but layers and layers of dead skin.
Yeah.
Sloughing, it's the worst, it's the grossest word to see or do. It's true. It's no fun. But this doesn't, you're not ripping lip skin off. It's a soft toothbrush. The ticklish part is where it's happening. It's just like a sucky, suck, sucky. Listen, Dave, this is all it is.
I don't want to do it.
Sucky, sucky. And then you brush your teeth and you're done.
Are you saying Fergal's going to come and help me with my lip skin?
Adorbs.
Is that what's happening?
Number 10 is what I remember. Mask of Magnesia. And it sounds like the villain it is. This says, perfect for all skin types. Smooth a layer of liquid milk of magnesia onto your face. Let the mask dry for 15 minutes. Rinse it off. Then cleanse as usual. Your skin will feel relaxed and way smoother. No. You flat out home alone your face. And then you are flames on the side of my face. Heaving. I remember my whole face broke out in this pink anger. And it didn't go down. It hurt. It hurt like everything burned. Googled this to make sure I just didn't put the wrong thing on it. Yes, some people have an allergic reaction to milk of magnesia on your face. And it should say that here.
I got some questions.
Yeah.
First of all, what's magnesia? Is it a flower? A plant?
It's a chemical.
Isn't it a chemical? It's in the periodic table, is it not?
Is it?
He doesn't like things that have periods in them. But it's in the periodic.
That's magnesium, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't this?
So this is cognate? It's the same thing?
Let's find out.
I don't know.
Well, why is it milk then? Why is it milk of?
It's a liquid.
Okay.
Let's find out.
Liquid milk of magnesia.
Yeah.
It just sounds like they're milking something to get it.
No, it's an oral suspension of magnesium hydroxide.
Okay, so it's just a solution.
Yeah.
So they're just making me feel like it's something natural and good for me.
Oh.
Or it's hard science on your face. Shirt, hard science on your face.
It's a laxative. It's a laxative. So there's that too. You got to get over that. I know you're already like, why would I put a toothbrush on my tickle lips? What if you take your laxative, just smear it all over your face? And your dad's like, where's my milk of magnesia? And you're like, my face is so red right now. You're going to laugh.
Oh, wait. Okay. So wait. Is kale pectate milk of magnesia? Is the same thing?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Is your next question, Pam, are you bubble boy? Because everything seems to really bother your face.
I'm sensitive. I went through my dad had weird allergies and I had them for a while too. Also, that could be because both my parents smoked in the house and kept the doors and windows shut. I feel like what we now call allergies was like, I was fully inflamed. I was a fully inflamed young person for a long time. But I was allergic to tomatoes for about 6 months. My dad was allergic to money. He was allergic to just some dye in shoes. And he would like swell up and everything would swell up and crack and bleed. It was awful. Yeah. He would get weird allergies.
Hmm. He's, by the way, my favorite parody musician. Weird allergies.
Weird allergies. Damn it, I can't come up with the allergy song parody fast enough. My brain's trying so hard.
Don't eat it.
I can't. That's it. I was stuck on like a surgeon. You got it.
I just thought of the next. The next segment is We Try It, in which they try things. We being them. All right. So the photo on We Try It is, I feel like this is somebody on the staff.
Yeah, it's Christina. She wrote all of these. That's what the blurb says up top.
I would have told you this was Gina. I would have thought this was Gina again.
Probably in her early 20s at this point.
Probably mid-20s, yeah.
Hard to tell because she is in a leopard or cheetah print And nothing says 16 going on 60 like a leopard cheetah print. I'm 50 is that character from Saturday Night Live. She kicks it. I'm 50. Mm-hmm. That is her in about 2 days if she keeps this dress on.
Nothing's helping here. The bustier or something she's wearing under is because of the way they've got her arm, I guess, the way they've got her arm, her boobs are coming out of her underpit. Like nothing. It looks like someone were like, boop, like nothing is geographically where it should be on her body, mm-hmm. which is also when you're 60, how it works. So it's like, yes, that's also aging her in that her boobs have shifted and she's yeah. trying to defy gravity. And then that's not her beauty mole, right? Like they put that on her too. All of
no,
this is
weird. No, I think
weird.
That's fake. Yeah. I think that's for fun. The first treatment she tried was a back facial. And she writes that the facialist massaged the body part stretching from my head to my butt. And I understand when you're writing about a back facial, you don't want to say back 50 times in 100 words. But that's the weirdest way to put it as an alternative. It's like, I know the thesaurus doesn't have anything for you when you're trying to replace a body part name, but that's just such an awkward way to put it. Like, say, she massaged my skin from neck to waist, so it doesn't seem like you're playing Taboo.
Wait, just rewind, though.
Yeah.
Are we just going to let back facial just slide, though?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I already knew about back facials, and so I'm not bothered by that. People have problem skin on their back, and yeah. so they do the same thing for their back that they do on their face.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not judging people that do it. I'm just saying it should be called a backle.
It should.
That's fun to say. I got to go for my backle appointment. Got to go for a backle, and then I'm going to catch up with that later and go fishing, so I got to get some tackle after my backle.
Mm.
Backle.
That's fine.
Backle, get in here.
There's reference here to a Buff Puff as yep. a product mm-hmm. name. Mm-hmm. B-U-F hyphen P-U-F.
Yes.
Just sound like Stay Puff Marshmallow Man. I was like, don't think about Buff Puff. Don't think about Buff Puff. And then you think about it. And then they're like a giant, I don't know, astringent pad or something. Mm-hmm. Wreaking havoc down New York Avenues or something like that. I'm just saying, it's out there. Putting the idea out there. Do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Hattie Weiner does a treatment called Body Alchemy. She says it can get rid of cellulite and all you have to do is lay there. Naturally, I got on the horn pronto and scheduled an appointment. Since at 53, she has a better body than me. I took Hattie very seriously, but I must tell you that her treatment, a very rough and painful one-hour massage consisting mostly of hard pounding on the classic problem areas, left my hiney and thighs bruised for days. And although I felt a little better about myself for a few hours, I don't know why, there were no long-term effects. When asked to endure the treatment weekly to make a permanent change, and I'm afraid I did not have the pain threshold required. We call that fascia blasting now, and technically being swollen from traumatic injury does mask some cellulite.
Mm. I think she felt better about herself briefly because it felt like she exercised because it hurt so much. She didn't.
Well, this is like when you guys were doing that cleanse and you were like, but then you feel, then you like shit a lot and then you feel a lot better. And I was like, is that because you've stopped shitting? Is that you're just like endorphins, the relief of no longer shitting? And you guys were like, maybe we're still going to do it.
Look, anytime stones come out of you, it's satisfying and you feel like you've really done something on a deep physical level. Whether it's good for you or not, I'm not here to say either way. I am not the registered nutritionist that suggested that we do it.
Was it like a magnesium stone? What kind of stone do you find in you?
It was granite. It was quartz. Crystals came out of us. They were healing.
Well, that's lucky. That's really lucky. That's alchemy. That's body alchemy.
No, they were they weren't kidney stones. They were like liver stones. It was a liver cleanse.
And they were blue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Yeah. Azure, I would say. They were bright blue. It was weird.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It was probably bad for us, honestly.
Yeah.
But it was a long time ago.
You need those to live.
Yeah,
they're life stones.
Those are your gallbladders. Put them back.
Oh no.
Last we get pedicure. She's wanted one forever. She never had $25 to spend on a body part that's usually in a sock. So she writes, the provider's pedicurist massaged my feet with moisturizer, soaked them in a tub, cut my toenails, and removed callous skin with this thing that looked like a Parmesan cheese grater. Then she painted my toenails red. Yeah, that's a pedicure. It's like, there's no color to this. I mean, maybe that's because it was her first of life, but it just seems like either it was bad and she couldn't say it was bad, or she wrote all of these blurbs in order and she was past her deadline, because this is like, if you got an AI to write, what happens when I go to a pedicure, and that was what was spat out. And I will say before we move on from this, regarding all of these treatments plus the ones in the beauty feature, if you did any of them, you are required to call into the hotline and tell us how it went. 720 Sassy Go, we want your stories. It's important.
I'm just jealous that she got a pedicure to last for an entire month, because mine doesn't make it out the building at all.
About face. First item of business, Harley Davidson cologne has just launched in Europe, which is weird because I don't really think Harley Davidson's a big thing over there. They're all riding their fucking Triumph bikes over there, I think. Anyways, please describe what you think Harley Davidson cologne would smell like. Any ideas?
Probably it's got notes of leather.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think it puts probably like musky,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit salty.
Mm. So it smells like beef stew is what I'm hearing. Got it.
Yes. I think this probably honestly just smells like as close to Old Spice as they thought they could legally get away with, so that people would still want to get it and it wouldn't smell weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because this stuff costs $2 a bottle maximum.
For sure. This is a drugstore product. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, it's going to smell like alcohol. And then it's also going to smell like the beard under your neck, like where the Adam's apple gets kind of prickly, because you can never quite shave that so clean. Mm-hmm. And particularly if you also, you know, just like had a beer and some of it spilled and a little of it got in your like Adam's apple hair and then dried at a picnic, like a 4th of July summer. So it's like sweaty.
Yeah.
Harley Davidson cologne.
Right. Yeah. A little hint of mustard, I think, with just the top note. Top note.
Maybe a piece of old pretzel.
Adam's apple hair is in the conversation with sloughing as the most disgusting thing that's been said in this episode.
Well, speaking of smells, what's the difference between fragrance-free and unscented? According to Neutrogena's experts, unscented means the goods don't have perfume but contain masking fragrances. Mm-hmm. And fragrance-free is just like it doesn't have anything. It's just natural, mm-hmm. which means they discovered good farts. Is what they're saying.
I found out some stuff on how the Harley Davidson cologne smells. Would you like to hear? Yeah,
of course.
Smells like a wrench.
Milwaukee Mag did an article called "The Harley Davidson Product No One Remembers: Woodsy Smells with Traces of Tobacco."
Tobacco.
But you need to know that they called it, what was the tagline?
If you can read this, the bitch fell off.
No. Ew. No. The scent of freedom.
Of course.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Gross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ride hard, smell good.
Okay.
All right.
They had iconic scents such as Blackfire, Destiny, Legendary, Hot Rod, and Territory. You were finally able to complete the all-encompassing Harley Davidson lifestyle and smell like your favorite bike at all times.
Wow, those names.
Today, the Hot Rod perfumes and colognes have made their way into the Museum of Failure, located in Helsingborg, Sweden. There, they are joined by other failed products such as Colgate's Frozen Dinners, a Donald Trump board game, and Coke Black, a coffee-flavored soda. P.S. Would like Coke Black right now, please. Can I get some?
Coke with coffee definitely is a thing in the world. They had it in Kenya when we were there. It's in Europe. It is basically Coke Black. It's the same thing. And it is not bad, but it's also not good. Like, I had one, and I'm like, yep, that is definitely a coffee flavor inside of a Coke. I think I'd rather have a Coke and then a coffee instead.
Mm. The bottom right corner, we have a little blurb about their recs for the perfect red lipstick at various price points. And so I did a little research, and we'll put it all in the show notes. They recommend L'Oreal British Red Coat. Mm. I think this is probably the same as British Red. It is still on the market. Revlon's Love That Red, also still on the market. Maybelline Classic Red, discontinued, but it is on eBay. The most apparently prized, and probably people are still upset about it who wore it at the time, because the priciest one, Mont Rouge by Paloma Picasso, at the time, $15 to $20. Now for sale on eBay for for $289 for a lipstick that's real old. And if you put it on, you'll probably get sick. I have to think it hasn't, even if it's still sealed, probably not good for you to wear. But I guess if you wanted to have it for a collection and you have $289 to blow, hit up that Etsy seller and get it.
Couple things on zits and stuff, which is somehow still a segment here. Just asking the same fucking questions over and over again. But hey, I guess it sells as, and that's why we have zits and stuff. First question. My butt is sort of flat. How can I make it bigger? Desperately seeking advice.
It is not me, although I do have a flat butt as well.
It has been years, at least 2 years, since this person wrote the letter that Buns of Steel has come out.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is fucking Buns of Steel.
Yep.
Buns of Steel.
100%. It was a very popular workout, and it's called Buns of Steel, which is just, you know, instantly funny. If you have a bun problem, turn them into steel. This is a solved issue. Let's talk about ads.
So here at page 2 and 3, we have a spread for Jordache Basics, and it is the floosiest cheap-ass shit I've seen in this magazine. This is like when you are like, I think I'll make something in chambray, and you're like, oh no, it's too short, and you don't know because you don't know how to measure your boobs yet, and it flippies out at the bottom, so you try to put a patch on it, and you're like, oh no, that didn't work, and then you're trying to tuck in a sleeve to make it fit because it's too big on one side, and you're like, oh, I'll never wear this anywhere. And then the jeans on the other side, this floozy, she's wearing like a Paula Abdul-y bodysuit, fine. Mm-hmm. These pants are zippered and tapered, and then they have like, heart detailed lace, like a cutout that they put lace in above the zipper, and she's looking at it like, goddamn right I got a heart on. And I hate it. I hate this picture. Her hair looks so bad. It looks like when I put on a wig and I go, I think I'm gonna go out like this, and Jason goes, you look a little costumey, and I think he learned that from Tim Gunn, and I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You look a little costumey, and I'll take it off. But this is so sad.
Yeah.
This is not good clothing.
She's doing what she can to make this look appealing, but it's impossible. Like, this truly is the mallest of mall outfits of almost any ad we've talked about, for sure. And the hair at the top does not help. She does look like budget Paulina Poroskova. On page 28 and 29, we have a 2-page spread for Shine Free. And the only reason that I wanted to mention this and put it in the visual aids is that this girl really looks like Amber Heard to me. Is it only, am I alone? Anyone else see it?
Well, you said it. And so, sure. Yeah, she's got the faraway eyes.
She looks like the guy from Weeds, who that was also just on.
Justin Kirk?
Perry yes. Mason. Yeah.
Yes.
They both have eyes that are looking through you and past you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who else is coming?
He knows me. She knows me.
Well, we've already discussed the Harley Davidson cologne, but that's not the only IP that is getting perfumified in this issue. Gone with the Wind, the fragrance.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Oh boy. Order now to experience their burning desire and ask about our anniversary gift. Would love to know what that is.
What's that smell like?
Gone with the Wind. Well, probably tobacco again, because it's got to have some kind of smoky smell.
Yeah. What if Harvey Davidson just stole this fragrance because it was sort of like it all the same notes?
You want it maybe notes of paper because you love the book, and whatever not giving a damn smells like, because that's his whole thing.
Mm.
Turner Home Entertainment signed a licensing agreement with Creative Fragrances of Hollywood to Florida to the right to market and produce the perfume. Gone with the Wind is very popular with young girls, said a spokesman for Turner. And this will be a nice reminder of the film. A perfume isn't something cheap or commercials. Lois Sloan, also of Creative Fragrances, said that fans of the film will appreciate the southern passion and fire captured by the new perfume.
Wow.
In addition to the perfume, Turner licensed 25 firms to produce Gone with the Wind products, including a restored print video cassette, Scarlet Retin mammy dolls, books, t-shirts, musical pocket watches, cookie tins, puzzles, and more. Oh boy.
It's tobacco and iced tea. I just figured it out. That's what it smells like.
Laouz, who also produced the perfume based on the Phantom of the Opera and the teenage scent Sassy, said he projected sales in its first year of $2.5 million for Gone with the Wind scent. There you go.
Wow.
We figured out. Oh, here it is. So what does it smell like? It's classified as a floral cypre fragrance for women, C-H-Y-P-R-E. The president of Creative Fragrances says the new romantic fragrance is a delicate floral scent with a hint of magnolia. It's so hard to describe, but very, very fresh, .. and exotic, .. and erotic, .. and .. Well, it describes scarlet. Top notes, magnolia, freesia, and bergamot.
Should have just called it milk of magnolia.
Next, on page 68, a full-page ad for the New Kids on the Block Talking Fan Club Hotline. Remember how the magazine was shitting on the band a few months ago? Well, they are not too good to take their ad money, and here is a full page for this 1-900 number. $2 for the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. That's a lot to hear a pre-recorded message of the New Kids on the Block, but Pam did some research and she found out there was a lot to it, and it worked.
Yes, and I remember it. First of all, the official New Kids on the Block hotline, which you will remember the second you hear, like, "Hi, we're the New Kids on the Block." And you're like, "Oh, I remember this commercial. It was never not on." 1-900-909-5KIDS received approximately 100,000 calls per week. Top fans include Pink, who once spent $118 calling the New Kids on the Block hotline.
Wow.
Pretty sure that she was about to marry Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah, they made you think like you would maybe if you kept calling, they would just man the line sometimes and you would get to talk to them or they'd call you back or you'll get a fan club letter. And then they always had Jonathan say, a portion of these proceeds will help support United Cerebral Palsy. And he looks so uncomfortable every time he's saying them. And then everybody else is just like, call us. We'll be loving you forever. And it's just like, oh, I forgot just how ridiculous the New Kids on the Block were marketed. These men, these were, it just looks so weird from this age.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing like what boy bands are like now, it's just a sad boy band time.
Yeah. But it also makes you think like if you could travel back to the Pink of 1990 and tell her in the future, you'll be able to send messages to the stars directly on computer and they might see it. And they might be putting out new videos of themselves doing like regular stuff in their real houses all the time. Like our tiny minds would not be able to comprehend what social media would be like for the true like crazy fan community.
Yeah, these cameos. I also think it would have blown Pink's mind if you had told young Pink, you're going to be so successful that one day you're going to go on a talk show and talk about how your parents are mad that you spent $118 and you're going to talk about the New Kids on the Block fan club. And then Donnie Wahlberg will tweet at you. I always knew Pink had great taste. Hashtag Donnie girl. So there is all of it where she has to be so famous that she gets a tweet. Yep. And that is the true situation.
What a world. Moving on, page 71, we got an ad for Oxy-5 and OxyClean medicated pads starring a very young Rebecca Gayheart, pre-Noxzema girl.
Honestly, I was about to say, wow, this company has a type, don't they? Because that looks like What's-Her-Nuts that did it later.
Yeah.
But you're telling me it's the same person.
It is.
All right.
So this was before they locked her down over at Noxzema. She was just doing whatever in her earlier modeling days.
Zip-free agent.
Yeah, she's got good skin. Top of the list. On page 77, here's a sassy thing I didn't know existed. Now I want it. The ever so cool sassy postcard calendar, which you could get for $10. And I'm sure they sold out of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cute little desktop. They didn't call it that at all. It was a cute little desk calendar that ripped out into little postcards that you could send to your friends that were ads for sassy, but also a calendar. All your nerd needs met in one little thing. And the calendar goes March, starts in the fiscal sassy year of March, which is how they look at time.
I love it.
The Sessorian calendar, as it were.
Yeah, it's sad to think that, like, the sassy jacket with the embroidery on the back, that, like, anyone who has it, they would never let go of it if they were lucky enough to have this at the time. It's never going to show up on eBay. We just have to wait for more of Gen X to die off and their oblivious children to be like, what even is this? And put it on eBay for us.
On page 84, there's a Tampax ad, which is a variation of one we've seen before. Mm-hmm. This is two girls on the beach. They are about to discover the dead body from Jaws. It's exactly the same scene. But I only want to bring it up because we're doing a check-in. And if you need more information, you still write a letter to Mrs. Carol Platnick, registered nurse.
Yep.
And she will give you the 411. And as we said before, real person still exists, still around, still in the same fucking town. I don't know if she's still doling out tampon advice, but she's still with us. God bless her.
I thought you included this because the headline is, are they hard to put in? And that it was a setup for you to be like, I don't know, Tara, are they hard to take out?
I would never.
I thought Dave put this because he was going to say, I still don't really understand what these are and how they work.
I don't. I mean, they're for nosebleeds. I know that
sometimes.
Much.
Yes.
Yeah. You mean you just stick them in your nose and you're done. And they're not that hard.
Page 86 and 87, where we have all of the teeny tiny fractional ads, because there's some gold this month. On page 86, poetry contest, $5,000 awarded annually, including two $1,000 grand prizes. Sounds pretty good until your eyes scan to the right and you see poetry contest, $6,000 in prizes awarded annually, and a possible publication of your poem sponsored by the National Library of Poetry. They've got more money and they've got a more official name. That's where I'm going. Fuck you, Pegasus Press, and your $5,000.
Once I saw a prize of $5,000 and I looked upon the other shore, and there was a prize for 1,000 more.
No, listen, you guys aren't reading this correctly. First of all, they both say that's just the total amount of money that they give out. There are two 1,000 grand prizes at the 5,000 poetry contest. It doesn't say what the top prize is at the 6,000, so it might be $500. So you actually might want to enter the $5,000 poetry contest because it has two $1,000 grand prizes.
Would the National Library of Poetry really stiff you on the prize amount? The National Library of Poetry?
I do want to say that the National Library of Poetry, as we've probably mentioned before, continues scamming online. Like, it really knew what it was doing.
We've got 60,000 prizes of 10 cents each.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's how come there's the possible publication of your poem, which is a book you have to buy if you want to see your poem. And that's the only time they've published your poem is if you've bought that book, and then they make that book and send it to you and they charge you for it.
Speaking of potentially shady businesses, cheerleader hyphen palm space pawn, how to be the best. So I had to look it up because I've never seen pom pawn before.
It is correct.
It is according to my in-depth research on the subject matter, it is French of origin, not really used here in North America.
Pompon.
Pompon, but it is one word in French, not two. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, if you are running a cheerleader thing in America, it's pom-pom. It's pom hyphen pom, or I will accept pom space pom. I will not accept pom-pom as one word.
It does hurt the first time you put a pom-pom in. It hurts the first time you put it in.
And then on the same page, we got Braid Aid. Do you remember when Phil Collins, he did Braid Aid in the States? And then he fucking got on the Concorde and he flew all the way and was still able to perform Braid Aid over on the other side of the pond? Mm-hmm. Good times. Refund guarantee. How much of a pain in the ass would it be to actually get a refund for this booklet that you got from New Rochelle, New York? And then, like, by the time you send it back, you're actually losing money on your refund. That's how they get you.
Here's what we're not talking about this month, Sassy Club, because it is 100% reruns across three pages of Sassy Club. Rip, I don't want to say this is probably bad news for Sassy Club. It's probably bad news for Sassy Club, though. I have looked ahead to the April issue, and it's even less, so.
Oh, everything must go?
Yep.
Oh, that was fun.
Diary is on page 8. This is where Jane introduces us to the writer that we've already talked about because her first feature was in this issue, Kim France. She wrote the Seven Deadly Dude Defects piece. She gets a little showcase here, and they talk about the writer retreat that they went on. But we also hear, because this is the Sassiest Girl in America issue still, about how many entries they went through. 58,484 of them. Considering what they were asking for this time, it wasn't just like a questionnaire. Like the first year we described, like they had to do a full like art project just to enter. That's so many people who love the magazine enough to want to do all of that work, because I love the magazine and I sure as fuck never did. So that's a remarkable response for the contest. Incredible.
It's such a bummer to know they just like trash them.
Yeah.
Like they put photographs for sure. Like there's probably someone who's like, what do you mean they don't send them back?
Yeah.
Because their mom is like, where are the wedding photos? You know, like, and you're like, I sent them because I did a thing about how much I love you guys. Like, get them back. You can't. They threw them. They truly threw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
Your onesie was in there from the hospital. I've been washing it in Dreft.
Anyway, there's a story about how they finally got it, winnowed it down to the top 25, and then the bag accidentally got thrown out. And so Jane plus Jeff from ad sales, who was the only other person in the office on a Sunday, went with her to like go through the building's trash. And this is like a Times Square high rise buildings full of trash. It must have been extremely unpleasant. So thank you, Jeff, not only for rescuing these entries, but also for being at Sassy on a Sunday trying to sell fucking ads because they need it.
Say what?
Say what?
So if you happen to own or write for a television site called Television Without Pity, you may recognize a lot of tone issues in this batch of letters, as they collected responses to the New Kids article we were hinting at earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So under the heading Hurting New Kids Fans, we've got a couple classic replies to people who write letters to people that criticize things they like.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Yep.
I'd like to hear you sing, Christina. I'm so positive. You'd be so much better than these multi-platinum album singers, says Lucinda from Logansport, Indiana.
Yep.
Classic. I'd like to see you make a TV show, Pam. Where's your young Americans, Pam? They would say.
They would say.
Also, here's another classic. I'd like to know how you got to be so god-awful perfect, Christina. I don't think you should be allowed to live. Classic.
Next time, it's the February 1990 slumber party. We will be taking the Rate Your Willpower quiz.
Or will we?
No, I don't know.
We can wait long enough to talk about it, and then we will also be listening to your latest voicemails. You can, of course, take the Rate Your Willpower quiz now and tell us how you did. It's linked on the site, and we'll put it in the show notes again just to make sure you know exactly where to click. For my plug this week, Roseanne was a hit for ABC in February 1990, and while its spinoff, The Conners, is not as popular in our day because nothing on television is, it is still a mainstay on ABC 5 seasons in. I wrote about what makes The Conners sadder than noteworthy sadcoms like BoJack Horseman or Atlanta, and that's a Cracked, and you can find that link in the show notes as well.
Hey, for my plug this week, I'm on strike in some places because of the Writers Guild. Really genuine was just like going off of Tara being like, no thing in television is successful anymore. And then I was like, oh.
Well, not successful. It's just no audience is that big anymore for anything.
I know. And then I was just sitting here like, oh. Anyway, we're on strike. So. If you'd like to help support the WGA and their cause, I've put in the show notes, the WGA contract 2023.org. Take action, how to stand with the writers. That's places where you can put stuff on your social media, how to join a picket line if you're in any area where there's locations we're trying to shut down, or just how to donate to the Entertainment Community Fund, because we are trying to help those who are desperately in need of money while they're not working well.
And if you need to make a couple extra bucks you don't mind getting yelled at, consider scabbing.
Wait.
No?
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Hi, we're the New Kids on the Block. We really appreciate all of your phone calls to our private hotline, 1-900-9095-KID.
It's great talking to you and sharing our personal thoughts.
You know, we're not too young to fall in love, and if you're one of the special callers, you get to talk to us live.
A portion of the net proceeds will help to support United Cerebral Palsy. So give us a call at 1-900-9095-KID. Under 18, get permission before calling. $2 first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. And remember,
we'll be loving you forever.